This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Film Pastor, the sister podcast to the Large Association of Movie Blogs, Lambcast. I am your host, the Vern of the Vern's Video Hortets, and with me as always, the very lovely, the very wonderful, brilliant, beautiful Emma Wallace of Emma Explains It All. Hello, Emmy.
Hello, hiya.
Hello, all.
How have you been?
Yeah, good, thanks. The weather's been so hot here. It's lovely.
Like, how hot does it have to become really lovely over there?
Well, probably not that hot compared to some places, to be fair. But a bit of sunshine. It's been about mid-20s, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of cold?
not for the UK. This is like, you know, Sahara Desert for us.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I hear 20 degrees right there? Wait, did you go by degree weather there? Because I mean, 20 degrees, that sounds pretty freaking cold.
Well, no, like 23, 24. I mean, push it up a few. But yeah, it's been nice. It rains like 300 out of 365 days a year here. So a bit of sunshine. We feel very privileged.
Well, cool. Cool.
Cool.
Have you been doing anything recently at all? Anything fun? We haven't talked to each other in a few weeks.
I know. Oh, I went and watched Magic Mike last night with some of my friends for a girlfriend's birthday, and that was pretty good. That was good fun. Okay. Apart from that, just the usual things that I do, which is basically eat a lot, sleep a lot, go to work, and watch telly.
That sounds good. Hey, you know,
that's all my favourite things.
I'm actually excited because I did not get a chance to see Mad Max Fury Road when it was
theaters. I haven't watched that yet either.
Well, it just got moved to the $2 theater by my place, so I'm hoping to finally go check that one out.
Yeah.
But like, I'm doing the same thing with you as well. Basically, been doing a lot of TV watching. I've been finishing up the last season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, I love Buffy.
I'm going to start watching X-Files again soon.
Oh, brilliant.
And get into Cowboy Bebop.
What was the last one?
Cowboy Bebop. It's an anime series about a road smuggler. You know, kind of imagine, like, you know, Han Solo in space. But, yeah, which is kind of something to say because he always was in space. But, yeah, like Han Solo, if he was, like, a bounty smuggler right there, which he is. What? Fuck, I'm not making any sense there. It's basically a television show of, like, Han Solo, all right? If Han Solo has his own television show, that would be Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Space, by the way, here. But we're here today not to talk about, you know, TV shows and movies and whatnot. We actually are going to do a show all about podcasting. Since The Film Pastor is a podcast, we want to do a show about podcasting. And to help us out on this episode, we have three wonderful guests with us. We have with us Bubba Wheat from the FilmWise podcast. Hello, Bubba Wheat.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, hello, sir. We have Justin DePolizzi of the Simplistic Reviews podcast. Hello, Justin.
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, and we also have Trevor Anderson of the Movie Mavericks podcast. Hello, Trevor.
Hey.
All right. Now, Trevor, good sir there. Can you tell our listeners just a little bit about your site and what it is you guys do on there and where we can find you?
You can go over to moviemavericks.com. Pretty much nowadays, I'm just doing the podcast, but there are some reviews on there as well. And that's it. It's not very exciting, Vern.
That's okay. It's a really damn good show, all right? I would say Movie Mavericks is probably one of the best box office review shows that you can listen to because they always give you good updates. They give you, you know, basically good insights about what's going to be the top movies performing at that week. And so you guys are basically my box office show that I listen to.
Well, thank you. We certainly are the show people love to hate, so.
Okay.
So, yeah.
There you go. I like that. Now, Justin.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the Simplistic Reviews podcast.
That's all right. I'm good.
Okay. All right.
has anyone ever denied that request?
No.
I want to be the first.
That's fine, okay. But I will say for listeners out there, that show is really a lot of fun. Matthew, and DJ, really all have like a great chemistry with each other there.
Thank you.
And I love the skits you have. Now, your announcer, Julie.
Yeah.
How did you get that? I mean, do you actually have – I'm pitching you guys actually have a female robot slave there or something like that.
Yeah.
Do your announcements.
Well, yeah, we have a couple. We have that, Julie, and we have Jeeves.
That's right.
He's kind of our butler, IT guy.
Okay.
And, we've created them in the lab, so they're real.
Okay, good. Okay.
It's not fake. It's not software, so don't say that.
Please listen to the episodes – where Julie may or may not have, you know, killed Jeeves. And also some of the other members there, too. That's, like, a really great dramatic portion of there.
I'm surprised that actually somebody listened to the podcast, because I know we only have, like, two listeners.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm surprised you actually caught that.
That's right, JC. Oh, very nice. And then, finally, Mr. Bubbleweed, film-wise, tell us everyone about your wonderful show you do there.
Well, over at FilmWise, each episode I cover two films, with usually just a single guest, a film that I have never seen, which is usually one of those big films where the guest I have on is like, why haven't you seen like The Terminator, or why haven't you seen Psycho? Usually just like one of those big films that they're passionate about, and then in return, I have them watch a superhero movie that they've never seen, which my question is not nearly as incredulous as theirs, but it gives them a chance to expand their horizons on the superhero and comic book genre.
Okay, well, very cool. And have you ever like once given like when people ask you like, "Hey, Bubble Week, why haven't you seen this?" What do you usually tell them? What's your answer? Why haven't you seen The Terminator?
Well, most of the time, even though that's like the lead question of the podcast, I usually never specifically answer the question why I haven't seen it. It's usually just like, well, I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Oh, you gotta be making excuses there. I was saving a village out of Cambodia, all right? That's why I can see that from Terminator, all right? I was being a hero myself, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Freedom of story that way. All right. Well, thank you all, gentlemen, for joining us on the show. Really greatly appreciate that. I'm basically just going to ask a series of topic questions, and we'll kind of get into a discussion about it. Like I said before, our show is all about podcasting. And I'm going to start with you, Bubble Wheat, about basically recording shows. Like, I know, for example, this show we're recording on Skype, and this to you, Bubble Wheat, as well as everyone else in the room. Where do you record your shows on?
Well, for me, 100% of my shows are recorded over Skype. Well, I have tried one time. It wasn't for the podcast, but it was an interview that I did for my site that I did over Google Hangouts. But most of the time I just use Skype because it's kind of the easiest. And what I use to record is it's just a program called MP3 Skype Recorder or Free Skype Recorder Call Recorder. And it's a program that runs in the background. The site is at voipcallrecording.com. It's a free download. It's a pretty small program. And then once you get it set up, it has several different options. Like you can record in the way I have it record is in stereo, where it's on two different channels. It has my voice on one channel, and then it has my guest voice, or if it's a group call, then everybody else's voice would be on the second channel. And then I would mix that together using another program called Audacity. And that can be found at audacityteam.org. And that is a very nice free audio editing software. And that has several different effects. And You can I use that to edit the film or edit the podcast.
Okay. And yeah, we'll definitely get into more about, you know, editing and editing software a little bit later on there. Trevor, what do you use to record your shows on?
We use Skype just like everybody else. We do have a backup though, Jitsi.org, J-I-T-S-I, which is just like Skype. And sometimes we've used that if Skype's giving us problems.
All right. Jitsi sounds like a delicious mango beverage.
And I did also, I forgot the other reason why I brought up Audacity is, you can actually record through Audacity. It has that function in it besides the editing software.
I do notice that, though. Like, I can actually record stuff on Audacity while I'm actually recording a show. Now, I do know that for the Simplistic Reviews podcast, do you guys record in the same room?
No, we do not. We started off, I'm from Jersey, and I had met DJ and Matt, they're in Florida. So we were Skyping there, and then I moved out here to California. So each one of us are in our own little location because now DJ has moved further in Florida. So the three of us are in three different places throughout this country. So we use Skype.
Okay.
And we record on our own. We have a backup. We use an MP3 Skype recorder as a backup. But I found that for the best quality wise, just record our own on our own computer. And there's different ways about that. I use a Mac, so I use ScreenFlow to record my audio. Usually you can use Audacity because that's a free program and that's good. But we do that and then I sync them later on in editing. We sync them all together so it sounds as clear as possible. That way, like you said, kind of sounds like we're in the same room together.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What has been like, and this is for basically everyone here in the room there, what has been like kind of like the biggest challenges of, you know, actually recording a show via Skype or whatnot there? What's been like the biggest hang-ups and hassles about that?
Yeah. Well, the big one's dropping calls.
Isn't Skype just the problem, right?
Yeah, Skype is the problem.
I mean, audio quality sometimes can go in and out with Skype. Yeah.
And that's why I find that it's best to record our own, because of the audio kind of going in and out sometimes. It's difficult to hear. So, I mean, when you have guests come on, it becomes a little bit of a problem. And then the hassle is, can you guys record on your own? And if you can't, then it's not going to sound similar like ours. But you're right. I mean, sometimes you can't even log in to Skype. Sometimes Skype is just be racist, like I was saying earlier, with DJ. And it's like, oh, he's black. Let's not work today. Okay. And that happens a lot. Matt and I, it works fine.
Skype may be secretly racist. We don't know for sure.
No, we do. We know for sure.
We know for sure. Okay.
There's been a couple times for me where, for whatever reason, like the MP3 Skype recorder that I use, it shows that it's recording, but like it doesn't show the file size getting any bigger. And then whenever I try to open up the file afterwards, it's like a 0-bit file. It's happened a couple different times. It seems to be like user specific. Like, I don't know if it's their computer. It's only happened a couple times where I've had to use, the first time that it happened, it like really caught me off guard, and I had to use like this, I had to hurry because I didn't want to put off my guest, and I tried to find a different recording program similar to the MP3 Skype recorder, because I at that time I didn't realize that I could record through Audacity. And the only one I could find, I didn't realize that it only would record 10-minute chunks at a time. And so I ended up recording, and I didn't tell my guest this, so I was trying to just do it all on my end, to where I would record, and then whenever I would get close to the 10-minute chunk, I would, like, try to listen for a pause and then stop it and restart it again. And I took like 10 different 10-minute chunks and stitched them all together.
Wow.
That does not sound fun.
No.
But very dedicated.
Yeah.
Well, All right, so right now I'm using, you know, MP3 Skype recorder, and it says it's recording a call, but it doesn't actually give me any file size, and it never has done that before. I just have to just hope for the best. And
you know, the best part is when you use a recording program is when you hit stop record, and the damn thing just crashes on you.
Okay.
That's the best part. Oh. Everything went perfect. Absolutely perfect, and then all of a sudden it's gone. Perfect. We've had that happen, yeah.
What, and then do you lose the whole recording that you've made, or?
Sometimes. Like, what we do now is we record on our phone just in case. So we have another backup that's separate system from what we use. So we have never actually lost the show to date where we've had that issue. Now, if we had an issue, we could just take it from our phone. Because believe it or not, the phones nowadays have decent mics on there to the point where you'll never really notice a difference.
Yeah.
I do want to mention one more quick story. It was one whenever I was where I was having computer issues, and I was actually recording on my phone, but I couldn't record on my phone, so I asked one of my guests to record for me. Mm. And for whatever reason, his audio did not come through. Like, I guess it recorded on two separate channels like it usually does, but it did not save his channel. So it was only me and the third guest. And so on that one, I ended up going through and I tried to edit the conversation to where it was just me and the other guest and completely edit him out.
Wow.
Well, because I didn't have any of his audio.
Well, that does kind of bring me up to my next topic, and that is, you know, getting guests for your show, because I have been lucky enough to have appeared on Simplistic Reviews as well as FilmWise. And for everyone out here, I mean, how do you get your guests to, you know, be on the show?
Ask. Well,
yeah,
okay.
Ask.
Okay.
Forcibly tie them down.
Okay.
Blackmail.
Blackmail, right.
That's a good one, yeah.
But, I mean, do you find these people mainly through the LAM or through Twitter? I mean, because I really can't recall how I kind of met a bunch of you people. I know a bunch of you have met through the LAM and whatnot, through other shows, and I'm very honored the fact that, you know, I was asked to be guest on your shows and everything, and I'm just kind of curious about where do you go in the process of, you know, finding people? Do you find it through Facebook, through your sites or whatnot, or?
It's a mixture. It's mostly Showstroll, so Twitter is a big one for us, finding people.
All right.
Yeah. I would say like all of the above, because I try to have like a different guest every episode, so I've had like close to 100 guests that I've had on my show, and I would say that about half of them have come through the LAM, because that is a great community to draw from, and there's the LAM Podcasting Network, of course. And there's a lot of great people in there, but just like indie podcasts in general is a very open and welcoming community. Like if you find a show, and even some of the bigger podcasts, because there's a podcast I listen to. It's called the Podcast Digest, and he goes out and he started by reviewing other podcasts. He would recommend two different shows, and then he kind of transitioned into interviewing podcast hosts, as well as like recommending and like digging into each of their shows. And he's had some pretty big guests within the podcast community, like shows not like the upper echelon like Mark Maron and that sort of thing, but he's had a lot of really big names within like tech podcasts and storytelling podcasts, and it's really just about reaching out and asking them. A lot of podcasters, and especially indie podcasters, are very active on social media, and if you just ask, many of them will gladly make time to help somebody else's podcast. It's not like, say, television or movies where it's a very competitive network. podcast seems like it's very cooperative more than competitive. Mm-hmm.
And I feel kind of like bad myself here because I subscribe to was like maybe 26 different podcasts, and I try my best to listen to everyone and all their episodes, and sometimes I get a chance to and some I do not. My question is for actually my beautiful co-host here, Emmy. Do you listen to a lot of podcasts?
Not an awful lot at the moment, I must say, but it's all a bit new to me, the podcasting thing, since I've been doing this with you, obviously. I do need to listen to more. It's just a bit of a time thing. Like you say, it's sometimes difficult fitting it in, but I aim to listen to more, I promise.
Okay. Well, now, just for basically everyone in the room here, besides your own podcast right there, have there been other ones that you would recommend? There are good ones to listen to? anyone can jump in, you know? I'll start here. All right. I'll mention
a few. We don't listen to podcasts, Vern.
You don't listen to podcasts here. Okay. Well, I'll share some here right now, okay? I will share That Moment In is a good show. In Session Film does a great job. Mm-hmm. The Mad Bad Downright Strange Showcase is a good one.
True Bromance.
True Bromance is a great one. War Machine vs. War Horse.
Yeah.
Q Film Cast. Across the Universe. French Toast Sunday. Lair of the Unwanted. Telependent Movie Podcast. All really great shows right there. I'm going to just talk briefly here about editing shows. I do know that people mentioned that. I know Bubba Wheat mentioned the Audacity as being a good, editing software. But Justin, what do you use to edit your shows?
Final Cut.
Oh, it's Final Cut. Okay.
Final Cut? Yeah, we use, DJ and I both use Final Cut. Final Cut 7 and 10. We still use 7 because sometimes 10 doesn't do everything that we need it to be. It can be a bitch to use sometimes.
Well, I am kind of curious, though, too, because you actually sync. Each one of you records your voice separately.
Yes.
And then you sync it all together.
Yes.
All right. But how do you match up the files?
We do a countdown, 3, 2, 1, and then we say mark, and we just do that every podcast, and we match up the marks with each other's audio. So, in theory, everything should be synced up. But we do movie commentaries as well, apart from our show. And sometimes you will notice everything will be synced up perfectly. But I think this has to do mostly with lag and within Skype. Is toward the end, sometimes we'll be talking about the film that we're watching and somebody else is talking about something else later down the road on the film. So it can be a little bit of a hassle because you just got to double check everything and check the beginning, the middle, and the end. But we just do a simple mark like you would do on a set.
Okay, so then you basically just view that audio portion of the show, the mark right there, and then you just match it up that way. Oh, okay.
Yep, and then we cut it up and we add our music and we have our announcer come in and she records her audio and goof around with it.
Right. Now, Trevor, now for you and Jason mm-hmm. in the movie Mavericks, you guys have like little sections of segments. You have a thing for your box office and for your trailers with a guy that mm-hmm. sounds very similar to Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, the captain.
I don't know how you got him involved with that. You also got Kevin Smith.
Yeah, Kevin Smith.
A little promotion right there.
Wow.
Yeah, And
that is
so
cool.
It is. You record all your shows live, right?
Yeah, we don't edit stuff. It's too much work.
Okay. But you guys actually have like announcements come on during the show there too. I mean, how do you add that into the show?
Well, it's all played live, so I use a couple of things. I'm on a Mac. So that might make a difference for this, but I use a program called Line In, which allows me to kind of mess with the audio stuff so I can direct things. And then we play them with VLC is what I actually play with. And I use Soundflower as kind of a fake audio source, I guess, that everything plays into. And then that runs into Skype. So when we run it through the recorder, it just records it all.
Okay. I guess I'm still a little bit confused about how it's able to be posted live. So when you record the show, people can listen to your show while recording it.
Not anymore, no.
Not anymore, okay.
We just record. I just don't edit it anymore, but the sound quality doing it live is horrible, so.
Oh, okay.
Through that system, so we don't do that anymore.
Okay. All right. And then, but you just mentioned that you just do everything just through Audacity, right?
Right, yeah. All my clips and trailers and stuff, I do in post through Audacity. Although I have been kind of curious, because I do know a lot of people do use programs, although most of the ones that I hear about are people that use a Mac. So it's been a while since I've looked into it to try and find a similar program on Windows. I know it's possible, but I just haven't spent enough time to do it, because a lot of times it is easier to try and do those clips live while you're recording, and instead of trying to do it afterwards, because it does cut down on editing time quite a bit. And I did want to go back and mention just a couple more podcast recommendations. On the superhero movie side of things, because there's quite a few superhero movie podcasts out there now, besides Super Zero Podcast, which I mentioned earlier. But there's also 24 Panels. That's a pretty good one. It's 24panelsperseconds.com and Hero Movie Podcast and Cinematic Universe. Those are a few more.
Well, great one, man. Now, a question here. How long does it take for each of you to edit a show when you're done recording it?
Zero. Zero minutes.
Okay, 0 minutes. Okay, for Trevor. Justin.
It depends. Each one's different. Movie commentaries will sync up because of the problems with YouTube with copyright sometimes becomes a hassle. So when we do movie commentaries, we do two separate different versions of the podcast, of the same podcast. So it's not much extra time. You just disable certain tracks, like the background audio to the movie. But on our podcasting side, when you listen to it through an app, you'll hear it, but not on YouTube. So that varies. And then with the show, like we did our 50th, which is quite long, it took a good week to get a majority of it done, and then another week for touching up. But that's mostly due to how much time we have throughout the week, since we all have separate jobs. Trying to fit in the time is the big thing. Like, listen to podcasts, it's very difficult to find time to do that. So editing is depending on the material. Sometimes they go good and it's really quick and I can edit it within a day or two if I have some time on my hands. But you know, like with DJ and stuff, he'll edit as well, and with work it gets in the way. So depending, we don't really set out a date. We'll say that the podcast is going to come out on the 12th or something. So that gives us some room to adjust it and set it up in advance. So it does come out and it seems like it's a little bit quicker. So try to keep everything up to date. You know, we don't mention really much of news that, you know, might kind of feel a little bit older. So we do stuff like that.
I think the biggest issue I have with editing, you know, shows, especially the last show that I did for the Film Pastor, is that the recording sounded great. Everyone sounded crystal clear. And then when I played back the audio file, it sounded kind of like broken up in places. Not in all places here, just in certain places. Mm-hmm. When I just spoke, it had like sessions where it kind of broke up a little bit. And then I have to basically remove the session that broke up and cut in something else so it still sounds like a natural flowing conversation. Do you have issues like that during your shows there too? Do any of you have issues like that?
Yes.
Okay.
All the time. We get this wonderful Skype problem where it'll take a Jason's, my co-host, audio and run it in a loop every once in a while for like, you know, a 2 second loop.
Really? Never heard of that
one. It's odd. Yeah. So he'll say something, just a simple word, like he'll say yes. It'll just go yes, 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 yes. What the hell's going
on? Oh, wow. Should have that on there.
And it's Skype, you know.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, let's take a quick break right now, and we will hear from another fellow LAM podcast and network show. Stay tuned for more Film Pasture.
You are about to witness history in the making.
Hi there, this is Todd from Forgotten Films, and if you spend all your time watching new releases, then you need to broaden your movie horizons. And a great way to do that is by joining me for the Forgotten Filmcast. We don't talk about the new releases, we don't even talk about the classics. We talk about the movies that time forgot. On each episode, I'm joined by another film blogger to discuss a film that may or may not be worth rediscovering. So look for the Forgotten Filmcast on iTunes, Podomatic, and wherever you find great podcasts.
Well, now that we kind of talked a little bit about recording shows and kind of, you know, the best audio software out there. So basically, you have your show, you recorded it, it sounds great, you're ready to post it. What are good hosting sites for you to put your podcast on? Like, I use basically Podomatic, which can use the Stitcher and iTunes. But I'm just kind of curious if any of you use anything other than Podomatic, or what's the best posting site to use?
Well, my biggest issue is when we started doing podcasting is cost, since we're not really making anything at all, which would be something down the line, which would be
hopefully
nice. Yes, hopefully. I think we all would like to make some bit of money. So when you get into the hosting side of things, there becomes a cost issue. And as well as time is money, so editing costs money as well. But my biggest thing with Simplistic Reviews was to not spend a penny. So I looked at free versions of everything. And, you know, there's these changes once in a while, but I find that Google Drive is the best at hosting and costs absolutely nothing. At the same time, I can go on iTunes, I can go on Stitcher, TuneIn. Since it's up there, there's a feed you can attach to it. It works beautiful. It's run by Google, so there is no downtime whatsoever. Maybe in the future, you know, I would like to host my own podcast from my own little server. But as of right now, we use Google Drive because it costs absolutely nothing.
So you can have your own RSS feed through Google Drive? Really?
Yes. Yeah, the RSS feed comes right from our site. The videos and audio portions are hosted on Google Drive. We used to use box.net. I don't believe you can do it with Dropbox, but you need a direct file that ends with the file format MP3. That way your software and your app on your phone or whatever iTunes you're using sees that in the post on the website from the RSS feed, then it becomes able to be played. So the nice thing about that is we have no cost when it comes to making our podcast.
What are you using to make the feed?
FeedBurner.
FeedBurner? So,
yeah. Oh. Which isn't really used anymore. So it's kind of an old, there's really no support.
I know, I still use it.
Yeah, but it works great, right? I mean, there's no issue with it, so why not? I mean, I wish they changed
hopefully
it.
Hopefully they don't get rid of beautiful. It.
That's my biggest issue, getting rid of things. Like I mentioned before, my other biggest issue is copyright. Sometimes we'll do lines when we do our movie commentary or even on a podcast, believe it or not the actual line from the movie or TV show. I guess it's a nice thing to say, but we'll get striked as a copyright. I guess the way we're saying it, believe it or not, will trigger a copyright. So that's a whole separate issue. But as far as the podcasting goes, Google Drive works fantastic and it doesn't cost anything. But yeah, use FeedBurner. It's a free tool and it's easy to use. It's not as pretty, but, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
I'll look more into that, though. That sounds really good because right now I'm spending money basically for Dropbox to put, like, you know, older shows of As You Watch. And I was spending over, like $15 a month in Podomatic costs right
That's
there.
Too much.
It
That's
is,
too much.
Yeah. So I kind of dropped that down a little bit. But that kind of deletes the shows that I would have. But I'll look into more of that Google Drive right there.
Look into free. I mean, if you just want to archive your podcast as well, I mean, we do that on box.net. You can sign up, you get 50 gigs for free. So, I mean, there are a lot of available things online that are free, especially if the name Google behind it is quite enchanting. So,
yeah, there's, and I've been looking into this a bit myself as well. I use the free version of Podomatic, which is extremely limited, and it's not a very good choice, especially if you are considering like moving hosts at a different time, because like all the feeds and everything is pretty much directly off of Podomatic, and
right.
And they have their own file names and all that stuff.
Does the free version have a time limit to the podcast, how long it can be, or is it file size?
They have a total storage size, and they also have a bandwidth restriction. Oh,
it's a double whammy.
Wow.
Yeah. But there's a few other ones. There's I think podcasts.net or .com is a fairly new one that came out. That's also a free hosting that has free options. And archive.org has free hosting for audio files. I know other people use that. I would say from what I've learned, that the best paid hosting is Libsyn.com because that has kind of the best of all the worlds. It's that you have so much additional storage each month, and it automatically archives your episodes. So you basically have unlimited storage, unlimited total storage. They only limit how much you can upload each month, and there's unlimited bandwidth. And if you do ever want to change hosts in the future, you can basically take all your feeds with you.
Okay. Well, shoot. Very cool indeed. So basically we all found that, you know, good hosting sites to post our shows on here, you know, plug it through our own website. But what do you find is the best way to actually get across to the people that your show is out there?
Twitter.
Twitter. Okay. All right.
It's the best way.
Best way. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Twitter, Facebook.
Twitter, Facebook. All right. Usually I find about shows through my iTunes. It gives me like a little update of all the new shows that have come onto the screen. And usually I don't hear about shows. Like, when it first gets posted, I would get like a few emails about it. But most of the times, it'll just be through my iTunes right there. And that reminds me, too, brings me to another question. How do you listen to your podcast? Do you listen to it through iTunes, or do you listen to other podcasts through Stitcher? Or what do you listen to podcasts on, if you do?
I use TuneIn.
TuneIn?
Yeah, because I'm more of an Android guy, so I don't have that podcasting iTunes. I can't, you know, do that on my phone, so I use TuneIn, and it's nice because I have the paid version, so no ads. I can record shows. You can, you know, it's all listed right there. It works beautifully. The Stitcher is really good as well.
Yeah.
But their site hasn't really been working lately. It's been a little bit odd the last couple months, so I've been focusing more on TuneIn.
I think Stitcher got bought out by another company, and
is that what happened?
Yeah, I think they're like in transition right now. Yeah,
something funky happened over there. I noticed that.
Which I use Stitcher a lot as well, but the problem with Stitcher is that podcasts have to actively sign on to Stitcher. Like it's a very simple process. Basically, just sign up, and then it can pull your iTunes feed, and you just
It's simple. Yeah, it's beautiful. But I notice sometimes the bit rate for Stitcher is a bit lower than most.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then I know I liked it, especially I think whenever I was before they had added the listen later feature, because I did notice because I was on a low data plan on my phone, and it seemed like whenever I would listen to shows via Stitcher, it would use a lot less data than on other. The other program I use is called Podcast Addict, And it's a free version, and it's really good too. It's the only problem with Podcast Addict is you actually have to be able to plug in the RSS feed yourself. Like its search feature, it only has like some of the major podcast networks. Mm-hmm. But if you listen to a lot of indie podcasts, you actually have to use a browser on your phone and find the RSS feed and copy it into the app. But it's nice. It has you can listen at different speeds. If you listen at 1.5, it's real easy to do that, and you can download the shows later, and it's really nice. And one thing that I've done. Something that I haven't mentioned here, but I'm also kind of the head of the LAMB podcasting network right now, is I have created I forget the name of the site. I'll look it up here, but I've made this. It's basically a combined RSS feed where I pull all the RSS feeds for the different LAMB podcast network shows, and I've put them into one combined RSS feed. So on Podcast Addict, I'm subscribed to that feed, and so I can see all the LAMB podcast shows, all network shows on a single feed.
Mm. That's cool.
That is very cool. Holy shit.
And it's called feed.informer.com.
Feed.informer.com. All right. So I'm willing to bet now that all of you kind of listen to all your shows via your smartphone. Emmy, do you have a smartphone?
Yep, I have a smartphone.
You do, okay. Everyone else does as well. I'm the only one probably in this room that does not have a smartphone. And I listen to everything on my laptop.
Yeah, there you go. That works.
I kind of do that right before work. I have my coffee, you know, some people watch the news. I listen to movie podcasts and just read the news is what I do. And it's been kind of a great thing to use there. Basically, for people who are new to like podcasting, I want to hear each of your own recommendations. You know, you have a few friends that you met online, you want to put together a show. What's the best way you would think for that person's show to be heard?
Get in iTunes, get on Stitcher.
Stitcher, okay, all right. But once you're on there, though, what's the best
way?
Is there a game plan, or?
Is there a game plan? Well, you can spam the hell out of the internet.
Okay.
All right. You don't really have much of anything else to do, right? What else
can you talk about? More of a script for a show? Format?
Format for shows right there.
With Simplistic Reviews, we kind of just throw shit against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. No, but there is some sort of method to your madness there a little bit, it seems like. And most of the shows that I subscribe to, there's a really good premise for it, though. Like Filmwise has a really good premise for it, though. Or War Machine versus War Horse has a really good premise. Q Filmcast as well. And there's new ones here that I keep subscribing to every day, Popcorn Poops is another one. They do actually a Man and Wave team. They do a running audio commentary on a movie itself. And they're not part of the LAMB Podcast Network show. There's a bunch of podcasts that I subscribe to that are not part of, the LAMB Podcast Network. And I guess I'm kind of curious for, everyone in the room.
Well, I'm kind of curious. How did you find them?
Basically, I think they started following me on Twitter, and I kind of just checked them out right there.
So that would be it right there. I mean, social-wise, if you're starting something up, start following everybody, start spamming the shit out of everybody about your podcast, just like you said. Yeah,
that's what I did.
I think it's pretty much just whatever your social network of choice is, whether it's Facebook or Google Plus or Twitter.
A good one, and they'll hate you for it, is the IMDb message boards.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, is a certain move right there, just start plugging people's shows on there?
You go right into
it. Hell yeah, it'll get deleted. You'll get in trouble, but...
Okay. Have you gotten in trouble? Have you?
Sure, I have some IMDb accounts with time limits on the posting and stuff. But they're dummy accounts, so that's all
right. Right, you just created up one.
I do know that Simplistic Review is you not only do you have your stuff you know online for people to do, but you also have like a YouTube channel.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that do good business for you guys? You guys get a lot of feedback for your YouTube channels?
Believe it or not, it does. It having the free version of hosting has, you know, its limits too. You don't have a embedded player that you can really just throw into your post so people can listen to it. So that was the idea. We're trying to get into a lot of, we do like reviews and stuff like of services, you know, boxes. We're getting into that, unboxing reviews, and I've been working on doing reviews of all the Bond films, and I want to do a Back to the Future thing. So I like that. I'm a video guy myself, so audio has its limitations, and I want to do a lot of video because I'm an editor, so that's what I do for as a job. And it's nice because then you can just pop it right into your post and give that an option. We do get a lot of listeners from the podcast on YouTube, but like I mentioned before, the drawback is the copyright is absolutely atrocious on there, and we are actually on probation until November, so we haven't been able to post anything more than 15 minutes. And it was a simple mistake from the Weinstein Company, and I've sent multiple emails. They refuse to get back to us, and but you know that becomes an issue. So it does good though. YouTube does do good, and I did that also for the app I was developing. But you can listen to our show in the Android app. The YouTube was just nice because you could click on it at the time and it would open up your YouTube app and listen to the show.
So wait, so copyright things, were you guys using like clips from movies on there? Or?
You'd be surprised. It could be 2 seconds of a song or 2 seconds from a TV show or what. And like I said, the thing that we got in trouble over was a fan-made trailer of The Hateful Eight that came out like last year that somebody was doing, and we posted it, and they just didn't give us a warning. They just started taking our, you know, YouTube page down, and we only have a 15-minute limit now. And I'm trying to talk to her like, hey, you guys took down a fan-made trailer. It wasn't an actual real trailer. They don't want to hear it. They just, whatever they say goes. You're the little guy. You have no voice whatsoever. So stuff like that could be worked on, because actually YouTube is a great community. And I do a lot of, every morning I turn on my Nexus player and I watch a lot of shows on there. So it's a great medium.
Yeah. And I think that's something important to mention, especially to like people that are just starting out. A lot of people think that it's good to like toss in like music sometimes in the background or as interstitial clips in between segments, and it's good and all, but if the podcast ever gets big enough that there is the whole copyright issue, if you use any like actual music tracks, unless you're going, and there's plenty of it's often called like pod safe music. If you search that, there's a few sites out there where you can actually find music that has free, has a free license that you can use on your podcasts, because there is that copyright issue. And I think 99% of podcasters will never legitimately run into that problem. But it can always be an issue in the future, and I think it's smart to just kind of shy away from that whenever you're starting out.
Yes, that is why I always use bands of friends that I know or bands that are no longer joined up together in hopes that they won't listen to this anymore. Like bands that have been spanned for a long time.
Sometimes the bands aren't the ones that own the copyright anymore. And even if the band's not together, the copyright holder likely does still exist.
Sure. Yeah. But you also have the error against the software that, let's say, YouTube uses, where it makes mistakes. It does make mistakes, but you can't fix it.
Right, and there's always the chance. I mean, it's unlikely, I think, to happen anytime in the near future. But there's always a risk, like maybe in the future, other podcast hosting will use like a similar software that YouTube does that searches for these copyright music tracks and flags podcasts for copyright infringement. That's always a risk that right. You take if you use like song clips. I mean, it's I still say it's something that's very minor. It's something that may never happen, and especially if you're just like a podcast that gets like 20, 30 listeners an episode, you'll probably never have to worry about it. But it's always something to think about.
All right, good point there, Emmy.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you have any sort of like questions about you're kind of new to the whole podcast environment right there. This is your first show that you're doing, and I want to put you on the show because, you know, you're very prolific in like Twitter and Facebook and putting things out there for people. You basically recommend a lot of other shows and whatnot. I guess for you, Emmy, what would you be looking for in a podcast, or do you have any other questions about podcasting with these two?
I'll have a little think if that's okay over the next couple of minutes and of any questions. One thing I did think, I know it's the most obvious, ridiculous question of all, but I wondered what got everyone into podcasting in the first place, as opposed to, you know, writing posts, for example. What is it about doing the actual talking and recording, and in many cases videoing as well, that you like?
The dog's gonna answer the question for you.
There you go.
He knows.
Well, I mean, for me, when I met DJ in college, and we went to college at Florida, and I had built a system, and I had built a little theater at my house, and had a little server of movies, and I found the way to rate movies, I didn't like the star rating. I found that one word for those movies best described it. If you could figure out one word, if it was just shit, or if it, you know, it was exciting, you know, to me that allowed me to organize my media a little bit better. And after we left school, you know, I wanted to still connect with them, and that's how we decided. I told them about this, and we developed it into a site. But the podcast thing, we goof around. If you listen to our podcast, it's really not a movie, but it's a show. It's this. We have game. We have a game show on there as well. We have this wheel. We do different segments. So it's got the movie end to it. But we thought it'd be kind of fun to stay connected, because I'm across the country, he's on the other side of the country, and you know, keep the friendship going and doing something that we love. It's very fun to do podcasting. It can be a pain, cool. Don't get me wrong, but it's cool to keep connected. And that's why we did that. So we allow everyone to come in.
It kind of started as a social thing between keeping in touch with friends and talking about things that you've got a common interest, and then it just went from strength to strength, really, and you cover different subjects and got, you know, where you are today, and keep going.
Yeah. Sort of. Everyone's a fly on the wall, and they see our relationship on the show and our writing. DJ's a writer, I am not a writer. So, you know, we have that. We're all different, and even including Matt, we do three different ways, we do it differently. So it's kind of cool to have people come in into this relationship, and that's how that began.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Indeed. All right. Does that same with you, Trevor, and Movie Mavericks?
Yeah, it's the same basic thing with us. We were constantly talking about movies and figured might as well just hit the record button, and if anyone wanted to listen, they could.
That's great. See, I've never really been, you know, in real life, so to speak. I've never really had a group of friends that I discuss movies with. It's always been online and with friendships made in that way. But it would be, I'm quite envious in a way. Like, it sounds so cool having this, you know, like a group of friends like that you've made this podcast and these recordings with, just through your love of the same things, and having a laugh together.
My last question for the night, before we get going here, is, does anybody remember their very first appearance on a podcast, either your own or on another show?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little nerve wracking to be on another podcast. Actually, the last two podcasts I've done, that's not Simplistic Reviews, has not been released due to, I won't name who they were, but one, the computer crashed, we lost everything. Even though I still had my audio, I recorded a backup, you know, there was about four other people on there. And the other one never came to light. So, you know, it's, you want to do a good job. You don't want to talk over everybody, but you have a whole bunch of people in the room. That could be a problem as well. So sometimes it's a little bit nerve wracking. And I remember the first time we did the podcast, we weren't really sure what to do. So that's why we kind of just created like a game show where we just kind of had fun. And that allowed us to be a little bit, you know, you don't want to talk like a robot. You kind of want to talk like you're talking with friends out to dinner. So it's a little bit, you know, the communications, the flow of the communication is clear and you can join and understand and follow. So that was the big, that was the big thing.
Okay. Now, Justin, I know you only have about two subscribers to the Simplistic Reviews podcast. We all know
that.
Yeah,
and two of them are on the podcast. But, so one of us isn't connected.
But like, you know, how did you, like, when did you start and this goes for everyone in the room too, but when did you start feeling that your show is becoming successful and that you want to keep doing it?
Yeah, well, I think we'll do it no matter what, even if we had nobody listening. Because like I said before, it's a great way. I haven't really gotten to be in the same room with DJ or Matt for a few years now. And I would love to see them and hang out with them, even if it has nothing to do with the site. But because of that, I mean, it's a pain, you know. But if we didn't have anybody, we'll still do it. And we've gotten, you know, a little bit more than two, I will admit, and that's kind of nice. It's just nice to have people like something of yours. I guess it's weird for me. I don't know why anyone would like it. At the same time, it's a joke, I think, and people kind of come on to the joke and go with it, and like Emma said, having a laugh, and it's great. To do that, and it creates, you know, a lot more friendships, especially online too, which there's still Canada as friendships, even though never maybe physically see each other in the same room. But just like I said, I haven't seen DJ in a while too, so.
And you can end up speaking to people online even more, sure, than some people out of, you know, in, again, sure, real life. I don't know what, I mean, to call, nice, it, but, physically.
I get to talk to you across the pond, and when that's really nice, you know, and yeah. And. I because of work, I really have three jobs, and then I do the site as well, so it's difficult, and I would never get to go to the UK because of that. So it is nice that we can discuss something that we love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
have an open discussion about it and let others connect and see maybe they enjoy listening to it as well.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
We're not.
No, of course they will.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of gets to all of our points about, like, podcasts, and we kind of covered where's the best places to record, which we kind of all decided was Skype. We said it's probably a good idea to record your own voices and then sync them up together, like Simplistic Reviews does. Audacity is a good one to host on. What was the one that you used, Justin? ProBoard?
To host?
Yeah.
Google Drive.
Google Drive, but to edit your software, mm-hmm. What do you use?
Final Cut.
Final Cut. Thank you. That's the other one right there. Final Cut.
Final Cut.
When you have a show, go through Twitter. Basically, connect with other shows. If you listen to podcasts, it's always a good thing to check out other podcasts and retweet their articles, and then they'll see your show on there, and they may want to check out your show as well, you know? And the more guests you have on your show, you know, the better off that you're going to have other listeners of that podcast to check out your show as well too. So that's always good. So basically, network people. That's the only thing we can say. Same thing with the last episode about, you know, blogging and writing. It's all about networking. You know, the more people you contact, the more people are going to be connected with your show.
Oh, that's true.
Is yeah. All I can say about that. And
network.
And by all means, you'll have fun with it though. You know. If you like what you're doing, you like what you're talking about, other people are going to like what you're hearing. If you like what you're saying, people are going to like what you're hearing.
I would say the best thing to do is not to change. I like, for us, we use a lot of language that a lot of people don't appreciate. We can be disgusting at times, but we don't stoop to clean it up and to gain our listeners, because honestly, we're not in it to make money. We're in it just to do it because it's fun. So just keep doing what you're doing and not necessarily have to change that. If people like it, they like it. They don't, then they can switch the channel and listen or watch something else.
Well, they can also send very hateful emails.
They could, and those are the best. I actually encourage
I love
that.
Those, yes.
Yes, those are the commentaries. You
I always try to get those
stuff.
People yeah, to come they, onto the I show like the most. They never will.
They never do?
No, they it's a shame.
All right, well, I first of all want to thank all my guests for being here on this very informative, fun conversation about podcasting. Mr. Bubble Weeds of the FilmWise Podcast, tell our listeners again, dear sir, where they can find you.
Well, you can find me at on Twitter at Bubba Wheat, at FlightStightsAndMovieNights.com, ChannelSuperhero.com. You can go directly to the podcast page at FilmWise.com, and that's WHYS. I'm everywhere.
Cool. Justin, and Simplistic Reviews.
Yes. You can find us at SimplisticReviews.net. All the information's there. You got the podcast. You can request a review. Look at the apps. Subscribe, and congratulations on the 200th post.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
You're
appreciate
welcome,
that.
Man.
Mr. Trevor, Movie Mavericks.
Yeah, moviemavericks.com. If you go to iTunes, search for Movie Mavericks, you know, we're on Stitcher as well.
And go to Box Office Ace.
Yeah.
Box Office Ace.
They won't go.
Show. I'm telling them to go, damn it, go, all right? Fair enough here. Again, thank you very much for listening to this, our second episode of the new season of The Film Pastor. You can find most of our episodes, they should be at the Large Association of Movie Blog sites. Go to largeassmovieblogs.com. You can also just type in Film Pastor in your search engines, and it should come up with our Podmag pages. You can find me, The Burn, here. I'm on Twitter at Video Vanguard. Just type in the name of The Burn, you'll find me there via their Facebook. Emmy, where can they find you?
EmmaKWall.com.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
And Twitter?
EmmaKWall. Yep.
Same
tagline, yeah.
Okay. Fair enough there. All right. Again, thank you everyone for listening. Until next time, we'll see you later. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Vernie. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.